So what is the only analysis that matters concerning our circumstances? It is God's. And I want to ask you, whose analysis have you been listening to? You listen to a lot of analyses. A lot of people come alongside and claim to speak for God, but they don't give you God's word because they fear man.
Welcome to this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Greg, the title of today's message is, How Can We Endure When Discouragement Hits? And I would just venture a guess that there are some people listening today who are really hoping you're going to give us an answer to that question.
You know, Dave, there is hope for those who are battling discouragement today, because God's Word indeed gives us the answer to that question. And we will see it today from our text in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verses 1 through 9.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And if you do that on a continual, habitual basis, it's an evidence that you don't know the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, will not seek when prosperity comes, but will live in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. But verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by water that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease to yield fruit. The heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Our hearts are deceitful. Don't be wise in your own eyes and analyze your problems and then address those things that way. We need to hear, thus saith the Lord, concerning our circumstances, and we need to trust in the Lord. And that's what the Lord is doing in this passage. And folks, if you're not in the Word of God, you may certainly be experiencing the symptoms of God's discipline, but you're not going to be able to evaluate them correctly. If you're in a church that doesn't preach the Word of God and teach the Word of God, if you're not studying the Word of God yourself, you're not going to be able to evaluate your circumstances rightly. We need to be in the Word of God like the blessed man from Psalm 1. So what is the only analysis that matters concerning our circumstances? It is God's. And I want to ask you, whose analysis have you been listening to? You can listen to a lot of analyses. A lot of people come alongside and claim to speak for God, but they don't give you God's word because they fear man. Or they don't love the Lord. Whose analysis have you been listening to? So the first and most important step is letting God reveal the cause of your discouragement. Now, what might have caused these people to be discouraged? Let's take a look here. Verse 3, back in Haggai chapter 2. I believe we're going to see its comparison. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? 520 BC, God now asks them to consider Solomon's temple, which was destroyed in 586 BC. And he is saying, who is left among you? This implies there were not many old timers that were left who had seen the temple in its former glory. Solomon's temple was a magnificent temple. And these people would have been small children now, very elderly men and women. It was 66 years earlier that the temple was destroyed. And even 16 years earlier when they laid the foundation, Ezra reveals this response. And let's turn to Ezra chapter 3. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Ezra chapter 3. And this is 16 years early. This was when they had come out of Babylon. They were working on the house of the Lord. They laid the foundation, then they let it go for 16 years. But this was when they were actually obeying 16 years earlier. Ezra 3, verse 10. Now when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the directions of King David of Israel, Ezra 3:11. And they sang, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his loving kindness is upon Israel forever." And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. They were praising the Lord because they were about his work, and they were joyful in that. Yet many of the priests and Levites and the heads of fathers' households, the old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes. While many shouted for joy so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the shout of joy from the shout of weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard far away. When they laid the foundation, those who had not seen the former one were praising God. They were about his business. They were obedient. And the old timers were looking at it saying, "This is nothing." And they were weeping and crying over it. And now, back in our passage, 16 years later, they're about God's business again. They're obeying the Lord. And God asks them this question: "Who is left among you?" He talks about the temple. "Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison?" Evidently, these people had become discouraged with the barrage of comparison to the work that they were doing right now compared to what it looked like before. And on the surface, it seems, humanly speaking, quite valid to be discouraged. But we need to recognize we believers walk by faith, not by sight. And when we walk by sight, we will always be discouraged, because God is always, as we will see, doing something so much greater than what we see. And this is where we get tripped up. We compare God's work. We decide to obey the Lord, and we analyze his work through us with other ministries or whatever it might be. We compare it, and we get discouraged. And there was nothing wrong with Solomon's temple. It was a wonderful temple. But there was nothing wrong with this work either. They were obeying the Lord. But it didn't appear like anything in comparison. Isn't this what happens? We decide to obey the Lord God. We're doing it for about a month, and all of a sudden we start listening to the voices of people around us, and we get discouraged. We start to compare rather than keeping our hearts focused on Christ through his word. Maybe we don't see the same type of fruit we saw in other people who are trusting the Lord, and rightfully so. And this type of comparison always brings about faulty expectations, which inevitably leads to discouragement. How about you? Have you been caught up in the comparison game? All sorts of manifestations of that. We're called to raise our kids. You're being obedient. You're doing the right thing, yet you're comparing it to another family, and you're discouraged. But you're doing the right thing. Don't compare. Trust the Lord. Now, if there's sin, take care of that, yes. We're trusting the Lord and serving the Lord in the way he's ordained that we serve him. And yet we get our eyes off of Christ and we look at other people or whatever it might be, and we get discouraged. One pastor writes, "Do not stop the work because it doesn't compare to something that was in the past." This was one of the problems with God's people. We're always looking back to the past. We say, "Oh, the days of so-and-so." Folks, you're always going to be discouraged because you're focusing on those visible things and not Christ. And besides our sinful comparisons, there's always others like these old men coming alongside who tempt us to compare the present work of Christ in our lives to what Christ has done at other times. Another pastor writes, "Does this sound like any of your experience? I think everybody who has ever undertaken a work for the cause of Christ has felt this kind of discouragement. The sense that the work around you seems so paltry. You pour yourself into it week after week, month after month, and the fruit seems so minimal. Then you look back across town and see the grand achievements of others, and what you're doing seems so trivial, and you get discouraged and tempted to quit." Now, we know as we trust the Lord, we want to obey him by his power and strength, and we know it is all for his glory, but we can be tempted to get our eyes off of Christ and become discouraged. And these people were obeying the Lord for the first time in 16 years. And 1 month goes by and the old timers are saying this stuff and they are discouraged. And God calls it the way it is. What does it look like? Does it compare at all? Does it compare at all? Now we need to stop comparing, obviously, and press forward in obedience. But on a side note, there are some other things this passage reveals which are contributing factors to their discouragement. I think we see there's doubt here concerning what God has said. We see later on in verse 4, "But take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, and all the people of the land. Take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts." God needed to remind them that he was with them. Obviously, it implies that they were doubting whether God was really in the work or not. And sometimes we can be tempted to do that. We're obeying the Lord, but we're wondering, is God really in this or not? I believe they were also fearing also, because he says in verse 5 in the end, "Do not fear," implying that they were fearing. And lastly, I believe, as we will see, there was a great lack of understanding of God's grand plan, which led to discouragement. We'll see this in verses 6 through 9 in a moment. So then, certainly comparison is the main issue here, but doubt and fear and a lack of understanding were contributing to that. So the first step in getting through discouragement is to allow God to reveal it. And we'll see that. And then let God encourage us through his word. Verse 4. "But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all the people in. Take courage, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord. As the promise which I made when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I shall give peace, declares the Lord of hosts." Verse 4, "But now, in light of your discouragement," I believe he's going to tell them to be strong and persevere. He declares to the leaders and the people by his word. And if you noticed when I read that, he said, "Take courage," three times. And then we have "declares the Lord" twice, and then "says the Lord of hosts," but it's really the same word, "declares the Lord of hosts." And this phrase, "take courage," is a command by the living God to them. It speaks of being strengthened, being strong, being resolute. You could translate it, "be strong." He commands them to be strong. But what is the significance of repeating this three times? I think the Jews, in knowing their history, would understand this. They would probably remember what Moses declared in Deuteronomy and what Joshua declared we have in Joshua 1. Turn to Deuteronomy 31 with me. He says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to give, sworn their fathers to give to them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you, and he will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Don't be discouraged. You're about God's business. Then down in verse 23, Deuteronomy 31, "Then he commissioned Joshua the son of Nun and said, 'Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you.'" I will be with you. And maybe they remembered the charge to Joshua just the same time. Joshua chapter 1, if you skip up a little bit. Joshua 1. "Be strong," verse 6, "and courageous." be wimpy and disappointed, right? No, he says, be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people the possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, had commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left, to the right, or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong. God is with you when you are obeying Him. We'll see that. Heaven is with you when you are doing what is right, no matter what it looks like, no matter what people say. Be strong and courageous. Take courage, back in our passage. Take courage. We see it throughout Scripture as we are encouraged to be strong. Ephesians chapter 6, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Let Him strengthen you. We looked at that. Few passages in the Psalms. Psalm 18. For the choir director, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that he delivered it from the hands of his enemy and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Psalm 28, verse 6. Blessed is the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Oh, if you would just say that every day as you, not in a rote way, but really truly believe it. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. He says, therefore my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank Him. The Lord is their strength, and He is a saving defense to His anointed. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Psalm 46:1, a very familiar psalm, hopefully. For the choir director, a song of the sons of Korah, set to Almoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, the mountains should slip into the heart of the sea. He goes later on, verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our strong. When you are obeying the Lord, you can confidently say in your heart of hearts, God is with us. When you're obeying the Lord in your relationships, in your marriage, with your family, with the church, at work, whatever it is, God is with you when you are obeying Him. But we are tempted to be discouraged, and we should take courage. And that's what we see in our passage. Take courage. Passage that strengthened me greatly when through a terrible trial I went through. In Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Folks, when you have a clean heart before God, you can claim those promises. You got to confess your sin and step out in obedience, hearing and fearing the Lord. And know that He is with you. And folks, once you start to do that, inevitably discouragement comes. And we need to know how to respond. So back to our passage. It says in verse 4, but now take courage, Zerubbabel, that's the leader, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua the son of Jehozadak, that's the spiritual leader in a sense, the high priest. And all the people of the land, take courage, that's everybody, declares the Lord. And notice after this, he says, and work. Literally do. Take courage and do what God has called you to do. Now at this point, you who are discouraged may be tempted to say, how can I be strong? Certainly our strength comes from the Lord, but how can I be strong in Christ? How? I think Haggai is going to share three things, and we'll finish up with this. First of all, we need to realize He's with us. He says in the end of 4, "And work, for I am with you." That's what we need. We need to know the Lord is with us when we're obeying Him. For these Jews and for us, it is His presence behind what He has called us to do that encourages us and motivates us. When you know you have a clean conscience before God, you've confessed your sin, your relationships are right as far as it has to do with you, and you are doing what God says, you can know for sure He is with you. Corporate and individual, it is the knowledge of His true presence that motivates us to serve when it doesn't look great, to endure when there are setbacks, to press on when there's no appreciation, all those things. I tell you right now, I love preaching the Word, but there are a lot of bad attitudes in the church at times. And that is no fun. And that is discouraging. And it is discouraging to see people choosing to go their sinful ways rather than trusting Christ. But I know from the Word of God that the Lord is with me as I trust Him and obey Him, and the same thing for you, and that ought to encourage you. We need to realize He's with us. I just read Isaiah 41:10. 1 Chronicles 28, David said to Solomon, verse 20, "Be strong and courageous." We see it all throughout Scripture. Be strong and courageous. "And do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you." Matthew 28, the Great Commission. In our going, we are to be making disciples, baptizing and teaching them all to observe that all that Jesus had commanded. And He says, "And lo, I am with you as you obey me to the end of the age." Always I'm with you. And a favorite passage of mine, when we are tempted to look at people and things when we're doing the right thing. Wonderful passage. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His." He won't support you at all if you got a divided heart, folks. You got to come clean. "Lord God, I've sinned so much." We sin all the time, folks. "I've sinned. I'm sorry. And I want to obey you. I want to do what's right." The eyes of the Lord look to and fro that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. I want to be about your business at church and family, everywhere. I want to do what you want me to do. And we know by faith, not by sight or feeling, that God is with us.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the closing moments of today's broadcast, review for us the key points from today's message.
Well, Dave, as we've seen, discouragement comes when we compare ourselves with others, and comparison will always lead to discouragement. We also learned that there are several other factors that lead to discouragement, such as doubt, fear, a lack of understanding of God's Word. That will also bring discouragement. And interestingly enough, all of these issues are symptoms of a life that is being lived, practically speaking, apart from Christ. When we go for days or weeks without reading or meditating God's Word, then we will begin to doubt God, and we will become fearful of the future and others. And all of this comes because we lack a true understanding which comes from the Word of God. So then, how do we combat discouragement when it hits? First of all, we need to realize when our focus is off, we've sinned. We need to confess it. Secondly, we need to get back in the Word of God and allow God's Word to renew our minds so that we will see things rightly. And then the God of all comfort will encourage us through His Word. as Paul shares in Romans 15:4, that through the perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Stay in the Word. Trust the Lord to bring you through. He will not let you down.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.